Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Ernest, what's up? Look, today I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind, a real weight on my shoulders. You know, we all have these moments, big or small, that just stick with us. When we don't talk about these things, then they can start to affect our lives in unexpected ways. That's why having a space to express these feelings is so important. I know firsthand the benefits of therapy. It's been transformative for my friends and family. Therapy can help you learn crucial skills like setting boundaries and developing coping strategies. It's not just about dealing with major events. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life, allowing you to become the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about therapy, BetterHelp can be a great option for you. It's entirely online, which makes it super convenient and adaptable to your busy schedule. You start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists at any time if you feel the need without any additional cost. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now. I want to shift a little bit because we live in the world, like you said, we can shape our narrative. We can control some of the media that we put out. I know you have a production company.
Yeah.
And we live in a world where content is king, and you did something very legendary that I don't think most people even know about.
Yeah,
you started acquiring content during the so-called writer's strike that, you know, we just came out of. Can you talk about the legendary move that you made?
Yeah, so Dr. King and I love my sister to death because we ride together on all these deals. We kind of like how y'all do it. You know, y'all show up the tag team. And so Dr. King and I went and bought P3 Media. And P3 Media is another... We on brand, you know, we take black investor dollars and we go buy a white production company. We stay on brand. This particular brand was
Gentify that hood.
There you go. So,
well played.
Right. So we went and bought it because one, we realized, what are you really buying? Right. You want to buy the privilege and the access that comes in Hollywood for those companies that we don't normally have. Right. So this was a company that had the number one show on Netflix the year before. This is a company that created the show Suits, which, you know, Suits is like what, the most streamed show in the history of streaming at this point. Yeah. So, you know, Gene Klein, who created Suits, is now our content director. So we went and bought the best of the best team to say, all right, we need a vehicle by which we can promote the stories of our community and get the access. And the key for us was this company was being incubated inside of Disney. So what it did for us immediately is when you acquired this company, now we got real estate inside of Disney on Burbank in LA, right there next to Marvel, across the hall from Pixar. You know what I'm saying? So that is the access we wanted to create so that we can get past what we think Hollywood is broken. Hollywood is broken right now. If you're a content creator and you got the greatest idea, the greatest story, by the time you get it in front of the right people, somebody and some middleman, some agent has nickel and dimed you to, we only probably got 5 or 10% left of your IP because you had to give away everything just to get in front of somebody, right? We're cutting through all of that. We have access directly to the buyers. Disney has a first look. So Disney gets to take a look at it. So if you your content comes to us, we can get it to Disney first. Netflix is on deck second. HBO, Showtime. We cut out all the middle people and just bring us the content so we can preserve those economics to make it so Black creatives can have create more wealth without having to go through all the middle people.
Can I just do a follow-up real quick?
Yeah, please do.
So you acquired Suits, right? You guys own it. This is a show that was on from 2009 to, I believe, 2019. As you start to see it climb in its viewership, what are you like? How are you guys feeling as you're seeing this happen?
Well, you know, it's funny. I talked to Gene Klein, who works with us. Gene and I were having this conversation in Miami a couple weeks ago. And, you know, for the people that created it originally, they thought it was iconic then. And I think now the big shock is, people don't even know how old this show is. People watch it on Netflix. And the only reason people start figuring out how old it is when they pull out the Blackberries, they're like, oh, damn, what is a Blackberry? You know, until you see them use a cell phone from 2007, you know, people don't know. So it's been exciting. It's been great for us because, you know, we're able to tell people, look, the talent that created this iconic show is right here. And now they're at, you know, a company with Black leadership, and the world is wide open right now, man. Like we sent, if I tell content creators all the time, if you have good ideas, we're doing really great right now. If you look at because of the strike, we've also leaned in there. We always take a chaos and create an opportunity. Because of the strike, there's no new content. So we really dug into getting great stories that we can turn into docuseries. And I'm gonna put one out here on EYL that y'all can check out. So y'all get to hear it here first, even though we got a Vanity Fair article coming out on it next in a couple weeks. We just finished the first unscripted television show filmed at the White House, surrounding the release of American hostages around the world. And most of them are people of color. So you take what happened with Brittany Griner and you say, you know, for the people that wanted Brittany out, you didn't understand why it was taking so long. You didn't understand why people weren't meeting with her spouse. And then when she did get out, the other side was like, oh, you did too much. You traded her for Satan. Now it's all bad. And so that whole dynamic, we felt the American people needed to understand. So we just finished a show called The Return that's going to come out this winter, where we go into the Venezuelan prisons to record behind the scenes, to record at the White House behind the scenes, to record at their families behind the scenes, to see the release of people of color from foreign prisons that people don't know about. This is the power of telling a narrative, because there's Black and brown people in foreign prisons right now who never bounced a ball, who have no fame or notoriety that the world needs to know about, because their freedom is, it should be just as paramount as anybody else. And these are the stories that I think Dr. King and I know need to be told. And we think it can have a profound impact on a conversation around Black lives in a holistic sense, because, you know, who's worthy of coming home is a serious conversation. And I think the American people need to understand what goes into that.
In the media space, we've seen a dramatic fall in Netflix last year. Spotify is going through issues. Podcasts are in trouble. Disney's in trouble. What's broken in American media from a business model perspective? I'm interested to hear a take. Suits is one of my favorite shows of all time. But what do you see in a business model that's broken that you feel you can fix? And what's your outlook on media companies in the publicly traded market like over the next 5 or 6 years?
You know, in my mind, man, we're looking at the negotiated death of cable. That's what you really are seeing. Mm. They're negotiating the end of cable, because at the end of the day, these streaming services, obviously Netflix is doing okay, but the rest of them are sucking wind. And when they're negotiating with actors and they're negotiating with writers and they know that they want a percentage of the revenue, it's an impossible conversation if you're not making money to share with somebody a negative, right? But the problem is, if you're Disney, theoretically, why do you want people to have to go through Charter or AT&T to get to you when you can sell your app straight up? So right now, and you saw this happen in the Midwest, Disney jumped off of Charter. They jumped off for 2 months just to prove a point. Mm-hmm. And so Charter took off ABC, Disney, off of all of its platforms. The point is, for streaming to make money, they're going to have to get the middleman out of the way, and that's cable. So what you're seeing right now is a negotiated death of cable so that cable will go back to doing what they originally were doing, which is provide a phone service or internet service, but get cable out of the content industry. So if you're looking at, you know, my thoughts on publicly traded companies, cable's going to hit, going to take the hit. The other companies are going to bounce back. But if you're looking at the internet services that have been making money off of cable old school, that day is coming to an end quickly.